It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, is it ever. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not clinch his party's nomination yesterday. No, ma'am, Joe Biden did.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Oh, it's a thing, and the matchup is now set between Joe Biden and his opponent, Donald Trump, also announcing victory has been achieved.
You're about to hear the greatest speech you've ever heard.
People love Trump for the modesty. 888-788-9910 if you want a part of today's show. A show that will include Jason Chaffetz, former superstar Utah congressman. Kennedy, the human highlight reel, a two-sport star. You know how Bo Jackson played football and baseball? Kennedy made it big in MTV, and she made it big in news. So how about that? And, of course, Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen will stop by as well, because over in the Senate, they are now saddled with a passed bill from the House. The House voting overwhelmingly to either ban or divest TikTok. Why? Because it's owned by the Chinese Communist Party, and it's stealing all of our information.
That's not right.
Now, of course, some people in the Senate do want it to stick around because they're making an awful lot of money hanging out with lobbyists.
Money, 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 money.
Oh, runs Washington. But this show runs on your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, the whole barnyard jamboree. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. Just don't be a Happy Wednesday, everybody. Champ's in a good mood. I was doing morning radio all morning promoting, still doing media on behalf of my book, The Cancel Culture Dictionary. If you did not buy it, you still can. It's a New York Times bestseller, which is just the funniest thing in the world because I went to community college and I work at Fox News. So you know, it just burns the balls of everybody at the New York Times to have to put a community college Fox News guy on their stuffy elitist bestseller list.
I think he's got a point.
Oh, yeah. And the point is they're losing it over there on 8th Avenue right now every time they see Jimmy Failla's name on the list. You can certainly keep me there. And if you want an autographed copy, jimmysignedbook.com. The other way is to get one in person. Go to your local Walmart. Whenever I'm on the road, if I stop by a Walmart, which I do quite frequently, I will sign my books in the store. Why? Because Walmart won't arrest me for doing it. Other stores, I almost got tased at the LaGuardia Airport over the weekend when I was flying down to Florida. I went and signed my book in the store thinking somebody will buy it and they'll, you know, see it and be like, oh, wow, Jimmy signed this. Oh, no. Instead, I was met by that aggressive cashier.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Oh, yeah, no, she wanted me out of there. I was like, but I'm the guy on the cover of the book. And she was like, I don't care. That's vandalism.
That's just how white folks will do you.
It is. Well, speaking of white folks, Trump clinches a nomination. Biden clinches the nomination. Congratulations, America. We now have a sequel nobody wants to watch, okay? Over 70% of Americans don't want this rematch. The reality is you've got two guys in their late hundreds. We're 8 months from Election Day. There's a reasonable chance one of them isn't on the ballot. That's just a statement of fact given their age. Now, Trump certainly seems to be in better shape than Biden, okay? And there's certainly a groundswell of support to get Biden off the ticket within his own party. But it's my hope that he stays on because he's definitely going to lose. And I think the country, I think this is a really teachable moment for the country. The reason I say that is not because I'm beholden to the Republican Party. Republican Party sucks right now. Okay, and they're not going to get a lot done if Trump wins. They're not. I mean, I'm telling you because I care. They're going to have a divided House because Trump doesn't really do well down ballot. He loses a lot down ballot.
This guy will say anything.
But I mean it. He's going to get into office as a lame duck president the first day. It's the beginning of a second term. Through executive orders, we're going to benefit from a guy who secures the border. We're going to benefit from a guy okay, who stops jacking up taxes the way they have. We're going to benefit from having a guy in there that supports law enforcement unilaterally, not just when it's politically convenient to do so. And most importantly, we're going to have a guy on the world stage that they kind of respect. I'm not telling you they like Trump, but they absolutely positively respect him, okay, because the guy is demonstrating strength, which is the only language they speak.
Correctamundo.
Okay, the people on the left, when they hear Biden apologize to a murderer for calling him an illegal, okay, the people on the left are like, wait, what are you?
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
They're not, because they don't look at, they don't share our social values. So they don't look at things like carefully curating our words or making sure we get the pronouns correct, okay? That's woke stuff that we might prioritize, but they don't respect.
Everything woke turns to shit.
Totally. But the reason I want Biden on the ballot and I want Democrats to lose, okay, is because their worst nightmare is Donald Trump being president again. Now, to be clear, Donald Trump was president once, and none of the things they said were going to happen actually happened. He didn't, like, ban women, okay? Gays haven't been thrown in prison. We haven't declared war on minorities. In fact, Trump secured the border to the benefit of everybody. Trump spent $75 billion in opportunity zones specifically to help the black community. He also gave historically black colleges and universities their highest recurring funding endowment ever. And oh, by the way, signed the First Step Prison Reform Act, which freed over 350,000 nonviolent black drug offenders who were sentenced under the 1994 Joe Biden crime bill.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
So Trump wasn't the bad thing they told us it was going to be, nor will he be the bad thing again they tell us it's going to be. That being said, I'd like to stick their nose in the fact that the Democrats have been calling us racist. That has been their political discourse for the last 10 years. Everybody who doesn't agree with us is a racist. I find nothing funnier than the idea that the Democrats are about to lose the White House because of black people. Biden is losing so much support across the board with black Americans. Okay, I've played you Charles Barkley clips. We've played you Ice Cube clips. Here is Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. He was on Fox News at Night with Trace Gallagher, just telling the truth. Black voters can't afford Biden. Okay, core prices are through the roof. They're over 25% higher. Calling everyone a racist doesn't help a black person or a white person or an Asian person or a Latino person or a Muslim person go to the cash register and pay for stuff, nor does it make them feel any safer on the way home from the store. And the problem is the Democrats are now targeting voters in segregated fashion. Well, vote for us because you're a Latino. We like Latinos. Vote for us because you're black and we like the black. That's what they're doing. And they're completely overlooking the fact that every single one of us has the exact same needs.
Bingo.
Every single one of us. You want to make money. You want to feel safe, get somewhat educated, make a living, have a couple of laughs, watch a couple of movies, eat a little bit of food. And at the end of the night, maybe you get a little something, something in the sack.
I love it when you talk dirty.
But the point is, that is not specific to one race or ethnicity. That's all of them. So when you start to market to people for a decade like the Democrats have, which is vote for me because everyone else is racist, they start to see through it after a while. Here's Charles Barkley first. I've played this clip a lot. Let's let him set the table since he does that an awful lot at his weight. Clip four.
The reason I think the Democratic Party and Mr. Biden, President Biden, is losing black votes is they only care about black people every 4 years. Mm-hmm. They come into our neighborhoods and say, we're going to make stuff better. We're going to do this, do this, do this. And then finally, us black people are like, yo, man, other than my ability to dunk a basketball, all my neighborhoods are still the same. Our schools are still the same. And that's why I think black people are leaving disappointed in the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to lie. I voted Democratic every time just because I thought it was going to help black people and poor people. Because black people and poor white people, they're in the same boat.
They are in the same boat. And he should be commended for being honest about the fact that voting for Democrats got black people nowhere. Don't ever forget in the summer of 2020, when they were lighting Minneapolis on fire. They were lighting Kenosha, Wisconsin on fire, lighting Baltimore on fire, lighting Philly on fire, lighting New York on fire, lighting Los Angeles on fire, lighting Washington, D.C., Seattle, and Portland on fire. What do they all have in common? Run by Democrats for the better part of 50 years. Why is the significant fact that they were run by Democrats for 50 years? Because when every one of those cities were burning, the Democrats told us straight up, quoted Martin Luther King, and said, well, you know, you got to respect the fact that they're rioting because a riot is the language of the unheard, which is true. A riot is the language of the unheard. There's only one small problem. The reason these people felt unheard is because nobody in the Democratic Party had listened to them for the 50 years that they ran their city. Chicago's been run by Democrats for the better part of 60 years. So has New York. So has Detroit. So has Milwaukee. So has Kenosha. So has Philly. So has Baltimore. So has Portland. So has Seattle. So has L.A. So when they said, oh, these people, you can't blame them. They don't feel heard. Nah, they don't feel heard. You want to know why? Because Democrats weren't listening.
You're absolutely right.
And understand this, okay? The things they aren't being heard about is life, the quality thereof in the inner city, the failing schools, which, by the way, have gotten worse since Biden took over, the crime rates, which, by the way, have gotten higher since Biden took over, the inflation, which, by the way, is 25% higher since Joe Biden took over.
This could be a problem.
Telling them you're going to do something about the climate, they don't care. Nobody cares about the climate. Okay, telling me everybody else is a racist and you got to vote for me because the MAGA white supremacist threat. Guys, there isn't a MAGA white supremacist killing anybody. Anybody. Nowhere. Not happening. If it happened once, if a guy threatened to do it, it'd be all over the news. It'd be the only story you watched on the news for a month on end, just like they tried to do with January 6th. And January 6th was bad. Doesn't make the top 25 violent events in the summer of 2020, sadly, because of all the Democratic places where they rioted, caused $10 billion in property damage and killed 42 people. Okay, the George Floyd riots were that, riots. They looked like a full-on societal collapse because people in Democratic-run cities had it. And now you add a financial burden and the fact that we've let 8 million migrants that we know of into the country who all get relocated where? They get relocated to all of the inner cities. So now those inner cities that had failing schools, and the Democrats won't do anything about it because the teachers union is the biggest lobbyist wing of the party. Well, those failing schools just got a lot more crowded because we let 8 million people cross the southern border.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Not to mention the known gotaways. And you talk about the fentanyl that comes over the border and the gangs that come with it and the sex trafficking and everything in between. It affects every race negatively. It's not specific to the black race. But the point is, the most adverse effects are always felt in the inner city. When we said defund the police, every one of those Congress people that was behind it had police protection. Okay, and really didn't care about the harm they were inflicting on society because it was more important to run on the notion that America was systemically racist, so we had to get rid of Donald Trump. You know, because the government's been racist for 300 years, so you get rid of the guy that's been a part of it for 4 years and you replace him with the guy who's been a part of it for 50 years. That's what they did, okay? Understand. So when you hear the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, like I'm about to play you here, say black people can't afford to vote Democrat, he's telling the truth. And that's why the Democrats are going to lose. They spent every day of their lives telling you nobody cared about black people. But in the end, the only one failing to deliver was them. Here's the Reverend, clip three.
The blacks are affected first and foremost by it. But because their black leadership don't care, they're in government for themselves, for money and power. Yeah. The blacks don't really have anyone to represent them. So you're starting to hear a lot of them speak out now about what's really happening.
Yeah.
And I have to even tell you, even my own family members, I never imagined that they would be voted for Donald Trump. They're saying yes to Trump now. And it started really with Obama. A lot of blacks saw that Obama would do more for them, but he didn't get jobs. He didn't provide for them. And under Joe Biden, it just wiped them out. They cannot afford to vote for Joe Biden anymore.
Okay, they can't. They can't afford to vote for Joe Biden. And the Reverend is honest when he said that the decline started under Barack Obama.
Don't be thick, all right?
No, it did, because the black unemployment rate went up under Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
And you understand all of the issues that they tried to advance legislatively were advanced on the back of fake racism. Oh, what's this Tea Party that wants to cut taxes? Why do they suddenly want to cut taxes? I mean, what's so different about this current president compared to the other ones? That's what they did. Oh, Obamacare. They don't want to force people to buy health care they might not need if they're young. They don't want to watch premiums get jacked up 300% because you're now subsidizing the people not paying for their own health care. Why would they be so mad? It must be something about this president's skin color, right? That's what they did.
Democrats are so full of crap.
And a lot of us saw through it at the time, okay? The good news is a lot of black voters didn't, okay? But we're now living in an America where the black vote can no longer take Democrats at their word that they care because every single policy shows that they don't.
The reviews are in.
That is a disgusting act, and it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, your tour guide through the stampede of stupidity we call modern politics. Here's Kara Swisher. Kara Swisher is over on CNN.
CNN is the worst.
And she says what Biden needs to do is go hard on calling Trump a rapist, a racist, and a fascist.
Oh, shut up, woman.
That's what she's down to. Here it is, clip 7.
If he's going to be shameless, which is his greatest asset, the shamelessness of him, is then Biden has to get in there very hard and go rapist, racist, fascist, over and over and over again. And then the trials are happening at the same time. He's just had to pay. He's just $93 million poorer right now. And just hammer it in with those three things. Rapist, racist, fascist.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Okay, first of all, let's start with rapist. Has Trump been criminally charged with rape?
The answer would be no.
No, not even close to it. He's civilly liable, okay, for unwanted touching against E. Jean Carroll, who is, by all accounts, behaving like a moonbat, who went on TV and laughed about the verdict, and who, oh, by the way, just happened to be the beneficiary, similar to the civil trial against Trump for inflating his assets, of a New York litigation process where 99.9% of the people are liberal. Trump can't get a fair shake in New York, which is why these indictments haven't hurt him on the, you know, business side, nor the Alvin Bragg side, because everybody knows what New York is. New York is so liberal, they wanted to defund the cop and the village people. Okay, they're out of control. Okay, they charged Trump with the equivalent of financial murder for overvaluing his assets in real estate. Yet no bank says they were defrauded. Yet no bank said they missed a payment. Yet no bank says they wouldn't do business with him again, which means there was no victim. They charged him for murder. There was no dead body. It's a scam. But that being said, when Kara Swisher says he's a rapist, not charged. Racist? Based on what? I have no idea. His vice president's probably going to be Tim Scott, who's a black dude. Fascist? If he was a fascist, you wouldn't be criticizing him on public TV right now. I mean, that's just the reality. Fascists control their opposition through violence. Do we see that going on with the Trump man? No. Okay, and again, we don't like January 6th, but there's a big difference between January 6th and fascism. Okay, but getting past that, what she's really saying is Democrats are desperate. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. One of those listeners is Wally. He's down in St. Petersburg Beach, Florida. Wally!
Jimmy, my man. Well, it's official. The 2024 presidential race of grumpier old men is underway.
Oh, that's funny. There you go.
And it's going to be combined with elementary school campaigning of I'm rubber, you're glue.
Can you be rubber with this environmental concern caused by burning rock? I mean, can you even be rubber and glue?
I think you're allowed to be tree pine tar.
But
I just wish that like one of them would somebody would at some point come up with an inspirational message of, hey, I'm going to take advantage of technology and have all, you know, like a post-World War II style economy. We're at the forefront of technology and manufacturing. Or Trump could say, hey, I'm going to bring gas down to where it was when I left office, which was under, you know, under $3 a gallon. So something positive. But I feel bad for any of the people having their first presidential election to vote for. They just have the most like negative people.
Yeah, it's not
to vote
good.
For. But I have to lean toward. I have no party affiliation, but I lean conservative in life. You probably find that hard to believe, but. But that's what I think we're looking at.
Yep. Well, here's the deal. When you look across the board, just at numbers, okay, president's policies helped you personally. This is a poll on CNN. Trump, with every age demographic, leads Biden by a minimum of 18 points. So if Trump can stay on message, he can win. But if Trump runs for the victory in 2020 instead of 2024, he's going to lose. Now, I consider Trump losing the worst case scenario for Biden because it means he'd have to do this for a few more years, which he can't do. He wants nothing to do with it. I mean, would you stop it, you know, Wally? So I think you're right about no one wanting a grumpy old man sequel, but I think the one who wants it the least is the guy who could win the thing, Joe Biden. So say a prayer for him and the country if he wins, okay?
All right, my man.
We love you, Wally. Keep playing good ball out there. The great Wally down in St. Petersburg Beach, Florida. We'll get to more of your calls later. 888-788-9910. Sometimes Wally's energy just cheers me up. Not that I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a pretty good mood right now. We were on the Ingram angle last night with Laura Ingram. We were talking about special counsel revelations. Robert Hur, in his testimony yesterday, which is all kinds of entertaining, and we're going to play some of these clips here. One of the things he talked about was Biden said to Robert Hur, if you're going through my stuff, you might find some risque photos of my wife, is what Joe Biden.
What the hell did you just say?
Yes, apparently Jill is starring in the new season of Golden Girls Gone Wild. What is with this family getting naked all the time? I mean, Hunter Biden, I've seen that laptop. I've seen so many dongs. I feel like I'm on a women's swim team.
What the hell did you just say?
I said the truth. It's nuts. No pun intended. Ha, huh? There you go. I said the truth. It's nuts. We're talking about TikTok for a second. Why? Because the House just passed a bill, voted overwhelmingly to ban TikTok, or at the very least divested. It now moves its way over to the Senate. One of the reasons this is significant is because ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. A lot of people see it as a propaganda instrument against the United States here in our country because China's algorithm favors videos that are anti-America, that don't share our values. But bigger than that, TikTok, in clicking I agree to get it from the App Store, you've given them the right to steal literally everything, your keystrokes on your computer. So they know every website you visited, whether your search history is clear or not. Okay? They know your bank account information if you typed it onto a site.
That can't be good.
Not great. okay? They have your biometric data because you relinquish the right to the company to take it from you when you download TikTok. So TikTok is very much a spying app by the Chinese government disguised as mindless entertainment that millions and millions of Americans like, and they do. What's fascinating about the moment is the president of the United States, Joe Biden, has vowed to sign the bill. If Congress passes a bill to ban TikTok, the president has vowed to sign it. That being said, the president is still on TikTok.
Biden is such a disaster.
That's what you're dealing with. This thing's terrible. Oh, it's the worst. We got to get rid of it. Give me a bill so I can sign it. And while you're at it, follow me on TikTok, at Joe Biden. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre answering to that yesterday, clip one.
And the president has said that he would sign into law the bill that could have TikTok banned. If the president is so concerned about the national security risks around TikTok, why is he posting on the platform?
So I'll say this. Jake Sullivan, our national security advisor, just spoke to the more broadly why this bill is important, why we welcome this bill. Obviously, it's going to the process, and we're offering technical support. So I'll just leave that piece there. As it relates to the campaign, I would have to, and their strategy as it relates to TikTok, I'm just going to leave it to them.
You don't have a clue.
No, she's a jackass. She means well. But one of the problems for Karine Jean-Pierre, getting past the fact that she's a diversity hire, she's not good at the gig, and she is a diversity hire, she's not good. I mean, they made a point when they hired her. I'm not trying to be racist or divisive. I'm saying to you, the White House announced when Jen Psaki was leaving that we're planning to replace her with a woman of color. Okay, that was the prerequisite. So you couldn't be anybody else. It had nothing to do with merit. We're getting a woman of color. Now, to be clear, there are 10 million women of color who could do this job better than Karine Jean-Pierre.
She is so bad at her job.
The problem with the Democrats in the age of identity politics is representation is more important than merit. So as we learned with Kamala Harris, it was more important to have a black female vice president than it was to have a good one.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
There are 10 million black women who'd be better vice presidents than Kamala Harris. So even if you're going to do the racist thing, it's technically racist to disqualify applicants from a hiring process because of their race. But if you're going to violate the Civil Rights Act in reverse, you should at the very least prioritize meritocracy just so we get qualified people in there. I mean, when you think about Mayor Pete Buttigieg, when he was in South Bend, Indiana, okay, was so bad with the roads, he was nicknamed Pothole Pete. But because they wanted a gay transportation secretary, because we'd never had one before, they took Pothole Pete and put him in charge of every single road in America.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
Okay, but that's what they did because they wanted representation. Okay, so they got representation instead of aptitude.
Pete Buttigieg is pathetic.
A lot of people feel that way. But when you start talking about this process, it does make its way to the top. Because ultimately, Biden's not there because anyone thinks he's competent or qualified. He's there because they just hated Trump. So in a roundabout way, as you all know, nobody voted for Biden. They just voted against Trump because the media succeeded in convincing enough people with their manufactured hysteria that Trump was an existential threat to the country. Now, I want to be very clear. Donald Trump can be very crass. He's very pugnacious with interviewers. He talks off the cuff in an unconventional way that's foreign to our politics. But Donald Trump has been that guy his entire life.
That's true. That is true.
And the reason that's significant is because everybody who hung out with him when he was an NBC host in primetime for 15 years, when he was just a playboy having big parties at Mar-a-Lago, when he was donating big money to politicians in both parties, everybody who hung out with him knew him to be exactly the way he's behaved in politics. They knew him to be crass. They knew him to be pugnacious. They knew him to take shots at interviewers. They knew him to just give you his opinion with no regard for how it made you feel. Okay, yet when he entered politics, they all pretended this was some new thing, some fringe loony who came out of nowhere, formed a cult, and we're all gonna die.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
That's what they did. And in manufacturing that hysteria in an age where people's emotions are their facts, they convinced us that Joe Biden, somebody Barack Obama thought so highly of, at the end of two terms as vice president that he talked him out of running for president in 2016.
Come on, man.
But that's what he did. Nah, step aside. It's Hillary's time. Get out of the way, Joe. That's what he did. That's what Obama thought of Joe Biden. Okay? When Joe Biden ran in 2020, Obama didn't endorse him until 23 people had dropped out of the race. Why? Because he didn't think anything of Joe Biden. He didn't want to endorse him because he thought he was going to lose and then have egg on his face and have to go endorse the Democrat a second time. So he wanted nothing to do with Joe Biden. Somebody Robert Gates famously said in his memoir, Gates being Obama's defense secretary, Joe Biden, bless his heart, nice guy, has been wrong about every consequential foreign policy decision of the past 4 decades.
Biden sucks.
Okay, that was the reality. That was the perception of Joe Biden. So you understand he wound up as the president of the United States, not because anyone thought he was any good, but because they had whipped up so much anti-Trump sentiment that we needed anybody else. That's what they're doing with all of these diversity hires. But again, there's no one there with less of a case for merit than the guy at the top of the thing. So Pete Buttigieg ain't going away. Karine Jean-Pierre ain't going away. Kamala Harris ain't going away. Because if you fire people or replace people based on the fact that they have no idea what they're doing, then you ultimately have to get rid of Joe Biden, too.
When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
So you understand this TikTok story. Yeah, we got to ban TikTok. It's bad. They're stealing your information. Nobody's safe on TikTok. Anyway, I'm on TikTok. That's Biden.
This guy's a serious ass.
He's a moron. I don't wish him any ill will. Okay, but his judgment is terrible. Whether he's pathologically lying to you. What did he tell us in the clip I've been playing all week? Black wages are up 60%. Listen to this clip. This is a pathological liar. Clip 5.
You promised Black America that you'd have our back. Do you feel you have our backs?
I have your back, and I'm not more, as much as any president has in American history since Lyndon Johnson. I've done. Look, we've black wealth has increased by 60%. We across the board. I wish you ought to interview some of the black business people here. The black leaders are here, and they told me about how they're moving. They have loans. They have direct payments that are being made by the government to keep them going.
You are so full of sh.
Is black wealth up 60% across the board?
The answer would be no.
Answer would be no. Okay, can I give you some real reporting? Because wealth, black wealth, white wealth, Asian wealth, Latino wealth, it's all the same wealth at the end of the day. We're human beings, okay? We all have the same primal needs. We all shop in the same economy. We all search for jobs in the same job market. We all live with these similar crime rates. We all deal with the same open border. We're all Americans, end of the day. That's what this is, okay? Since Joe Biden became president, are you ready for this? Now, tell me if this affects any race any differently, because I don't believe it does. Groceries are up 21.2% since Biden became president. Whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, groceries are up 21.2%. When you go to the grocery store, you're spending 21% more. Going out to dinner is up an even 21%. Baby food up 29.6%. Pet food up 22.7%. Rent up 20%. Electricity up 28.4%. Natural gas up 30%. Apparel up, which is clothing, up 12%. Used cars up 20.3%. Airfare 31.4%. The public transportation they want you to take to save the environment, it's up 20.8%. Do you know what real average weekly wages are under Joe Biden? They're down 4.2%. So when he pathologically says black wealth is up 60% across the board,
that is a fact check false.
But this is a guy who's used to talking as if we don't own tape recorders and can fact check what he said, because Joe Biden has been in Washington since Washington. Really think about that. The guy got into government in 1973. There were no smartphones, there were no camera phones, there was no 24-hour news cycle, there was no social media. You just walked into a room, told them whatever the hell you wanted, and left, and there was no record of it ever happening. That's how he made his name in Congress. And he lied for 35-plus years before that actually became verifiable, at which point in the age of social media and the smartphone, he started to become a little bit of a laughingstock for saying things that would ultimately get caught on a microphone.
A three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
Okay, guy's an idiot. He got caught plagiarizing in 1987 because he thought he could get away with it. And back then, he certainly had a higher percentage of doing so. But this is Johnny Carson in 1987.
One of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a, I think it was a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him, and then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry, he reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That's Biden in 1927. Excuse me, 1987. I was thinking of the Murderers Row Yankees, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, good lineup. But the point is, Biden has always been a pathological liar, but bigger than that is he's stupid. The man is stupid. Opening the southern border is stupid. Pulling the troops out of Afghanistan ahead of the civilians, stupid. I promise it's really stupid. Okay, when you look at the runaway spending at a time when we're $34 trillion in debt, stupid, which is why the core price index is as high as it is. So you understand, the core price index removes food, okay, and rent, because those are volatile things. So they base inflation, which is at 3.2% in the past month, they base those stats not even on these things I just read you. Okay, the things you need to survive, groceries, baby food, rent, electricity, gas, a used car, those things collectively are up on average 20% each. So when they tell you inflation 3%, they're actually lying to you, because it's higher when it comes to the goods you actually have to buy. And that's the point. These policies are the end result of someone in office named Joe Biden who just happens to be stupid.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
You're listening to the man with a fashion sense that's all his own.
Looks like a gay bag lady.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Apparently, Michael, in addition to listening to the radio, is watching a lot of TV while he drives his truck. He checks in from Hershey, PA. Yo, Michael.
No, buddy. I've got the old Sirius. I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
I'm not watching and driving.
Like, eyes on the prize. I don't want you to run over any Hershey's Kisses. Come on, man.
Oh, man. Wouldn't I love to take that exit?
Oh, man.
I bet it's delicious.
Good living.
Hey, so look, I was listening to Dana and your buddy Bill Hemmer this morning on America's Newsroom, and then a little later I was listening to one of the Florida stations, and who showed up in both places but our buddy Kat Kamick.
Oh, there you go.
He is on that House committee about TikTok that just got that all passed through. And let me tell you, that committee has so much data on the psychological warfare the CCP is waging, not just on the United States, but on other countries like Israel and a lot of our allies. It isn't funny.
Yeah.
It'd be great to talk to her, you know. I bet she could give us the skinny on TikTok.
So Michael, now you're booking the show, too? I mean, man, you do a lot. Call in, critique, book. That's enough out of you, pal. Have a great day out there. There goes Michael, everybody.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. We are fired up for a big hour of Fox Across America, your home for top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. Really is just the dumbest time that's ever been to be alive. But we will educate the masses in this hour with help from former Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz. Kennedy is going to be here as well. We'll get into your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, message in a bottle, whichever way you want to communicate with the show. And if you don't want to communicate with the show, you can also call us up and tell us that, too. We don't care.
You're just another dirtbag.
We can take it. We're big kids. 888-788-9910. That's the phone number. And we implore you at the tippy top of every hour on this show. You can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat. Just don't be a That is all. What does the beep mean, Jimmy? The beep means whatever expletive you'd like it to. The point is, I'm trying to be decent. But my assessment of the state of our country right now is that we don't need more Republicans. We don't need more Democrats. We just need less. And that is all. So as we get underway here, we are reacting a little bit to a few things in real time. Number one, the House has voted overwhelmingly to either ban or divest TikTok. It now moves along to the Senate. We'll talk to Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen about that a bit later on. And we've also got the fallout from the Robert Hur testimony yesterday. Robert Hur, special counsel, sat down before the House Judiciary Committee. And essentially, it's a choose-your-own-adventure. If you want this to look like a political witch hunt against Biden, then you wait till the Democrat is speaking. If you want this to look like a double standard, a two-tier justice system, you wait till the Republicans are speaking. Okay, either way you slice it, the conversation revolves around the fact that we have a president that was deemed mentally unfit to stand trial. Okay, that being Joe Biden. Now, Biden has his defenders, don't get me wrong.
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
Well, I don't know that any of his defenders can. But as I give you some of this, I want you to understand how all of these public hearings, every single one of them, are just an exercise in getting the 30-second soundbite you're hoping will land in primetime that night. That's all it really is. The sealed testimony matters because you get real answers and can contradict the, you know, the record, and you have the person under oath. What the public testimony is a response to what was testified to privately. It's manipulated for sound bites and maximum political effect. So here is Pramila Jayapal, because her job is to make this hearing like there's no business in it taking place. Donald Trump's an existential threat to humanity. We're all going to die if him and his racist followers get back into office. So it's a good thing that Robert Hur exonerated Joe Biden. The only problem...
That is a lie.
He didn't exonerate Joe Biden. He just said that his cognitive condition would ultimately render him a sympathetic elderly man with a poor memory. Now, I draw this point of clarification. Why? Because Hur was forced to draw it himself when Pramila Jayapal continued to insist Joe Biden was completely and totally exonerated. Here it is, clip 11.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Hur,
that
I'm
going to
continue
report.
With my questions.
I'm going to
continue with my questions. I know that,
I received,
that the term
that I ultimately reached I know that whether the term, sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
Him. I know
I
that
did
the
not
term willful
him. That word
retention
does not appear in the report,
has a Mr. Hur, it's my time.
Pramila Jayapal.
You are so full of shit.
Seriously, Congresswoman, I just have to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That is not a word that appears in the report. How funny. Because to be clear, he was not exonerated. They made the decision not to charge him based on the fact of his cognitive state, but they found, and this is something he testified to under oath, Joe Biden, who famously said when classified documents turned up at Mar-a-Lago, how could anyone be so reckless? Well, lo and behold, Mr. Indignation left classified documents in seven different locations.
What an idiot.
Here it is. This is clip 10.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, in his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
So Joe Biden left classified documents, marked classified, where they can't be viewed outside of a SCIF in seven different locations.
He should be behind bars!
If we're just going by the letter of the law. But they basically, even though Robert Herr gave you an honest assessment of Biden's cognitive state, the fact remains he let him off for something you or I would be charged for. Now understand, there is a precarious legal situation on our plate in this moment if you're trying to charge a sitting president of the United States. But it certainly doesn't apply to a former president who has been indicted 91 different times. Okay, but understand when you watch that trial yesterday, the one thing that it's impossible not to come away from is that Biden did, in fact, break the law and was not honest with the American people. Okay, that's a big part of what happened. So when they start slamming, well, you understand, they let Biden, you know, go free because Biden did nothing wrong.
Not even close!
He did a lot wrong. Okay, here's Jay Tapper yesterday. He's interviewing Adam Schiff. Now, Adam Schiff is a loser. Okay, is he in elected office? Yes. He might even become a senator from California because they're just so liberal. Okay, but he's a loser. Adam Schiff was a guy who went on TV every night for 3 years and told you they had definitive proof of Russian collusion. That's what they said.
You can't handle the truth!
But what makes it worse is that he knew it wasn't true. The Mueller probe, just so you understand, there's a lot of probes, there's a lot of reports, okay? It's a lot of overlap. The Durham report was an investigation into the origins of the Mueller probe. The Mueller probe, of course, revolved around the idea that Russia stole the election for Donald Trump.
It was made up by these sick people.
And that's what the Mueller probe concluded. They concluded that there was no contact between Trump and Russia at any point during the campaign. Did they work together in unison for the effect of influencing the outcome of the election? That was the conclusion. So the Durham probe came about because we wanted to know how the country could be held hostage for 3 years over something that turned out to have no basis in fact. And what did the Durham probe ultimately conclude? That the Russian collusion narrative was started by the Clinton campaign to create a counter narrative to her private email scandal. They were tired of catching heat in the press. So a member of the Clinton campaign went to the FBI and gave them a report. They said, hey, we're not here on behalf of our campaign. We're just here as concerned citizens. We've heard our opponent, Trump, is colluding with Russia. And if you could look into that, America would thank you. And then they ran to the reporters and they said, hey, I don't know if you guys heard this, but it sounds like the FBI is looking into some type of report between Trump colluding with Russia.
This is politics as usual.
Straight up, that's how it works. So you understand, Adam Schiff is center to all of that because Schiff, knowing the Clinton campaign started this mess, went on TV every night for 3 years and was like, no, no, it's collusion. It's everywhere. I see it all the time. Like, I talk about it. It's beyond circumstantial.
All you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think...
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial and is very much worthy of investigation.
You are a sad, strange little man.
That's Adam Schiff. Do you understand? Adam Schiff is now running for Senate in California. Like a lot of Democrats who made names for themselves on the national stage, they don't run against their opponents. They run against Trump. Donald Trump's bad. Donald Trump's going to jail. They can't have Donald Trump do well because it runs counter to their agenda, which is to piggyback off of his unpopularity in liberal circles. So Schiff is kind of really freaked out about this Robert Herr thing, because a lot of people are reading it as a gift to Donald Trump. Well, if people say Biden's nuts and Biden's already pulling behind ISIS, surely this is going to help Trump. One thing we do know is the State of the Union didn't help Biden. Jacking him up on B-12 letting him scream at us for an hour and a half has resulted in Biden's approval number going down.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Yep. Here is Jake Tapper asking Adam Schiff, saying, I don't understand the outrage about this HER report if your guy got off. It's clip 15.
Well, what part of that construct is inaccurate? I mean, I assume you think he's sympathetic and well-meaning. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage.
Well, it's as simple as this. As a prosecutor, the department policy is you don't go out of your way to essentially vilify, injure the reputation of someone when you're making a declination decision. What you put in your report is just what's necessary to support the conclusions of the report. So fair game to say he was asked about these documents and didn't recall how they got to the university. It is not appropriate to engage in a subjective, generalized, essentially political assessment that is foddered during a campaign year. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he chose that language.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Here's the money quote. You don't go out of your way to essentially vilify, injure the reputation of someone. Okay, that's Adam Schiff. You don't go out of your way to vilify or injure someone's reputation. You know, when he was the chair of the House Intel Committee, he went out of his way to straight up say Trump was colluding with Russia, even though he knew behind closed doors it wasn't true.
The campaign accepted help, which we know they did. The Russians then delivered help, which we know they did.
There is circumstantial evidence of collusion.
The case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So,
you've said on more than one occasion that you've seen ample evidence of the Trump campaign's Russia collusion. Last March, you said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia.
I've certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion.
Can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy.
Give us the lowest form of life
on
earth.
The Russians offered help. The campaign accepted help. The Russians gave help, and the president made full use of that help. And that is pretty damning.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Why, you little maggot, you make me want to vomit.
Okay, think about Adam Schiff for a minute in every one of those sound bites. Telling you, oh, no, you, it's beyond circumstantial. We got big proof of collusion. This is big stuff. I would know absolute.
Wrong.
Except under oath, he was testifying to a completely different reality. Why? Because he had no proof. Guys, the reason we're so divided right now, if you're a liberal, you need to hear this. You're not my enemy. I'm not mad at you. I don't look at you as like, oh, I got to get these guys. I don't want to own the libs. I don't want to rent the libs. The libs are using all their apartments as migrant shelters. I can't rent them anyway. Okay, but understand, I am your American teammate. Whether you agree with me or disagree, I am your teammate. We live in America. As the country goes, we go. If there's a war tomorrow, we're all on the same side. That's how the country works. That's how being in a country works. So understand, what Adam Schiff did, he should be removed from public office and thrown in jail. Okay, not throwing hissy fits on CNN about Donald Trump and about how the special counsel slandered him. He spent 3 years slandering Donald Trump and undermined the institution of the presidency, so much so that they made it harder for Trump to act. Again, you don't have to like Trump to know it's wrong to be the head of our intelligence committee and say Russia stole one of our elections. Okay, if you know it's not true, which he knew at the time was not true. It's no different than the Hunter Biden laptop. 51 former intelligence officials signed a letter saying it was Russian disinformation, even though the FBI had corroborated it in 2019, meaning they interfered in our elections on behalf of their preferred candidate. Now they want you to believe, oh, democracy's on the ballot. If you don't help us screw our political opponent out of winning, democracy could go away. So in the name of keeping it around, let's just destroy democracy ourselves so we get what they want. That's what they're doing, and they're all full of
Jimmy Fallon.
He's got great charisma.
Yeah.
He's always dressed fantastic. He has what I call it.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, the good news is Joe Biden clinched the Democratic nomination. The bad news is he doesn't know for what. Listen to clip six.
Pennsylvania, I have a message for you.
send me to Congress that I can support this right.
Oh, goodness gracious.
We take back Congress. We will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
I mean, maybe it was trying to say, give me a bill and send me to Congress with it. But that's still not how the process works. So that's all I can add.
Biden's lost his marbles.
You know, like the hook on this show is that, like, I'm just honest with you. I'll just tell you what I think. Sometimes that's what I think. I just play a soundbite and I'm just...
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know. And believe me, I lost my mind on this show on Monday when Biden apologized for calling an illegal murderer an illegal.
That was embarrassing.
Especially when you juxtapose it against previous Democratic verbiage when it comes to illegal immigrants. Okay, the Democrats used to at least have the decency to acknowledge that this was a scourge on all of us and that we should be doing everything we can to stop it, if for no other reason than it screws the people who migrate here legally. Okay, you understand, when it comes to nobody, no Republican, not a single person, not one, who says we've got to stop illegal immigration is saying we've got to stop immigration.
He knows what he's talking about.
Why is that significant? Because Democrats try to portray border security as racist. Wow, they're racist. Wow, because these brown people are coming here. So you understand. That's why the Republicans don't like it. But then again, the Republicans aren't saying don't come. They're just saying come here legally. Because when you let 8 million people in, it pushes the people who try to come here legally to the back of the line. You screw them over. And the Democrats like to say, well, we have a broken immigration system. We need a bill. But if the system is broken and it's not processing people quickly enough, why do you add another 8 million people to the line? You understand? Never mind the fact that they're not coming here right now because we have a broken immigration system. They're coming here because we're letting them in.
Bingo, man. Bingo.
If they're not getting let in, do you think they're going to walk 1,000 miles? No, they're taking the walk because when we catch them at the border, we go, welcome to America, and we let them in. So it's not about legislation. It's just about enforcing the current laws that are on the books, which no one seems to be doing, including Joe Biden.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are stacking the deck in this segment. Former Utah congressman, host of the Jason in the House podcast, Jason Chaffetz, is in the house. There he is.
I love being in the house. This is fun.
It matters. So we were talking offline, because I always deal the viewer in on what happens. They get a lot of access. They have the highest security clearance in radio on this show. I tell them everything. Tell them too much, according to HR.
A lot of people, that's what I hear about the show.
Yeah, you learn a lot on this show. We'll get into it with you. But Chaffetz and I were talking about flying and specifically the scourge of service animals. The reason I bring this up, if we've had this conversation before, forgive me. But I consider people who bring their pet a-holes. Not because I don't want to sit next to your mini horse, as you had mentioned, or your peacock. But because if the whole premise of bringing your emotional support dog on the plane is you think the plane is going to crash, aren't you an a-hole for killing the dog, too?
That's a good point.
Think about it.
When I was in Congress, we had to deal with this. And I started talking to the airlines because we had pictures of pigs, peacocks, mini horses. They would let anything on.
Anything. Because anyone with some
a
type
peacock,
of
peacock. Who wants to sit next to a peacock?
I know this for a fact. Okay. That, I mean, everyone listening knows this. There are people that can write you, it's almost like writing you a prescription, okay? I could have, and I didn't do it. Jenny doesn't want our dog to fly, but I could have flown Vixie to L.A. because I had someone who would have written me a, yes, this is a certified service animal.
I don't think you have to even do that anymore.
We're not even trying, you're telling me?
No, go to PetSmart or whatever and just get it. Put a vest. This is it. But you know what? My brother's theory is about this is true about people.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything in this world if you have a cone.
Yeah.
Or like a like one of those orange cones or a vest.
Yeah.
Just put it on or put the cone down. You're going to get the best parking spot. Nobody's going to mess with you. Who stops the guy who's carrying a cone? He's obviously important.
This guy's clearly some deputized.
You do the same with your dog. You can bring it anywhere.
Oh, man.
Put a bag of ice over your shoulder. I had a buddy who would get into Arizona Cardinal football games by throwing 250 pounds of ice up on his shoulder, like he's going to help, you know,
like concessions.
Concessions.
I'm late.
They
to,
never
yeah.
saw, oh, get your badge, and you're like, my hands up on this bag of ice, and it's dripping. It's Arizona. It's hot. I got to get in.
How to sneak into anywhere? We should write that Fox book.
A vest, a cone, and a bag of ice.
Confidence.
That's all you need. Those are the three tools.
I can get anywhere. I can tell you how to get a cannonball onto a plane. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Let's bring a bottle of water. When we were, someone gifted us a cannonball in Texas, Tyler, Texas, KTBB, our East Texas listeners. Hey, girl. Jenny and I are flying back from Texas with a cannonball in her purse. TSA stops her and, of course, takes out her bottle of Poland Spring, and then we proceed on to the plane. It's like the greatest thing in the world.
I'm not going to ask why you had a cannonball.
Someone gave it to us as a gift it was like a gift. Like, hey, there was a Civil War battlefield. We wanted to have you here. We love you on the radio. Thanks for all that you've done. Oh, okay. Here's a cannonball. Anyway, cannonball makes it home. Poland Spring water does not. Because heaven forbid people hydrate on this plane.
Can you bring a bowling ball on a plane?
Of course you can. You just got to get it into a bag. The only thing you can't bring these days is a side door if you're flying Air Alaska. Other than that, you can bring anything you want on the plane. Just don't bring a door. Don't bring bolts. That's frowned upon in the modern parlance. Isn't it wild to see, like, Boeing's going through a lot right now.
Yeah.
Tires falling off. Stuff
that
like
video
that.
Of a tire falling
I know!
Off. It's really bad.
But what's crazy about it is I really do wonder, because you know how the internet has a way of making you feel like it's worse than it is because it gets reported and it gets clicks. So I wonder if it's making us all hysterical, or they really are relaxing standards, or there's some type of a hiring issue that's leaving us. Because I say this because if you remember when the vaccine mandate was a thing, there were absolutely pilots having sick outs, because there were multiple times in America on 75-degree days where an airport would have no flights leave,
right.
Which means they were either short air traffic controllers or they were short pilots. We had it on a Friday night. We were going down to Houston, okay, supposed to meet my man at Damon's Barbecue. This guy, Brandon Cruz, great dude. Just the best guy. Damon's Barbecue, by the way. If you guys are south of Houston, Damon's Barbecue for the win. Like, it's, you know, probably one of the best things about this country. But stick with me. Friday night. 75 and sunny. Jenny and Lincoln get a car service because I'm coming from Fox. I tape like a Hannity. I head over to LaGuardia. I'm feeling good. Things are taking off. Everything's taking off except the planes, because we get there on a 75-degree night, not a cloud in the sky. Every flight on the board is canceled, and they say it's because of weather. It's because of whether or not the pilots came in, maybe, but that's what it was.
I had this JetBlue problem, too, and I'm looking up at the board, and they're saying, oh, you know, Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, well, we can't help weather. And I'm looking outside, and I'm like, it's 60 degrees.
Yo,
there's none.
So listen to me. This is important. So when Kennedy and I, this happened to us on one of those days. We were coming back from Chicago. And the flight did take off, to its credit. And they said, due to some severe weather in New York, we're going into a holding pattern over western Pennsylvania. This gets so much better. The pilot then comes on 5 minutes later and he goes, well, we've been the victims of some bad math up here in the cockpit. I apologize, which is always reassuring.
Yes.
And he goes, we don't have the fuel to taxi for 45 minutes, so we're going to land now in western Pennsylvania. Fine. Prepare the cabin for landing. We land in 15 minutes, and he goes, welcome to Cleveland Hopkins International Airport. At which point, I text Jenny, and I said, hey, we just landed because they said severe weather in New York. And she's like, dude, I'm waiting for you in a convertible. It's gorgeous out. At which point, I go, oh, nobody came to work today. So I, without even getting off the plane, rent a car because I know there's going to be none left. And I say to Kennedy, hey, we're driving home from Cleveland to New York. And she's like, I'm in. And we get to the counter, and we did get the last rental car because everybody knew they were in the same boat. And that flight didn't take off for another day and a half because they were probably just short.
Yeah.
So I think there's a combination of two things. One, the internet's going to amplify everything a plane does wrong right now.
Right.
But two is there's something fugazi going on.
Yeah, well, I appreciate bringing this up because in about 3 hours, I'm actually on another plane. So I appreciate it.
Well, as me and my cousin Di always say, you want to fly after they've screwed up because now there's a little more scrutiny and they've got to tighten the bolts.
Yeah, but I found the hard way that when you talk bad about airlines and planes in general, you get a little extra pat down from the
oh well,
your friendly TSA.
Some of us
they're
enjoy
very
that.
Friendly.
Some of us
TSA.
Enjoy that here in New York.
This is an honest to goodness happened. I went through the line. Nothing. The guy said he had to give me a pat down, and I am not kidding you. I'm in Congress. I'd been making an issue about the TSA and all of its problems, and the guy literally says to me, I had a dream that I was going to get to pat you down.
No!
Yes!
That's a scam!
And how do you get out of that one?
It's also pretty
erotic.
How do
you get out of it? It's pretty disgusting.
I'll tell you what. T.S. Hey! That's what it sounds like. Well, I'll laugh. I have two of those interactions to speak to. My favorite story maybe ever is Jenny Lincoln and I were walking through LaGuardia Airport last summer, and the guy with the dog, the bag-sniffing dog.
Yes.
Goes, oh my God, dude, I love you. Oh my God, you're the I listen to your radio show. I go, how much better is this story if your dog alerts on my bag right now? You have to arrest me in the terminal. Hog tie me on the pavement. But to your point of a government official having a dream they would go after you. Okay. I was doing a story here on Fox quite a bit about the IRS and targeting low income Americans and everything in between.
Yeah.
And not only did I get audited, but the guy told me, he goes, oh, this is so crazy. I was just watching you on TV. I can't believe I'm auditing you. Yeah. And I was like, I feel like you can believe you're auditing me because someone probably told you to. And they were nice. They were fine. It ended okay. But the point is, sometimes you wonder if, you know, maybe having an R next to your name or maybe a show on Fox News doesn't curry you the favor that it should. You dig?
I've been through this.
Yeah.
I dove deep into this United States Secret Service, did an investigation, did a hearing. And ends up that there was an email from the number two or three person at the Secret Service saying, hey, we need to make this a fair fight.
Uh-huh.
40 United States Secret agents did a deep dive on my background. I mean, I got a political enema like you wouldn't believe. I mean,
oh, Chaffetz.
I mean, and then a year later, Secretary Jay Johnson that headed up Homeland Security called and said, well, we found a lot of wrongdoing here, and it was really bad, and we're sorry you went through that. But was anybody prosecuted? Was anybody? No.
No.
Oh, we reprimanded people. You know what they gave them?
Reprimanded.
You know what they did? Yeah. Some of these people? There was one person, I can't remember, it was a week or two, paid time off.
Really?
Yes.
To go think about what they did.
Yes. Paid. I'm like, dude, you gave him a promotion. You gave him a go to the Bahamas and have a week or two on the.
Such a scam.
That was the punishment. Paid time off.
So there's no way you can tell me, and I know you probably can't speak to this directly because I don't think there's a way to articulate this, but there's no way there isn't some type of like a favored status thing within the government. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, I'm sure it can apply to either party, but I'm sure there are people, whether we realize it or not, whether you've even ever borne witness to it directly, there are probably people that are part of the country club that is the government.
Yeah.
And the non-members of their like secret society are the ones on the wrong side of what you just described.
Yeah, well, there's like 2.5 million of them.
Yeah.
I'm not in that club.
We just don't have, we don't have access. We can't golf here.
I'm not in that club.
No, we get the extra pat down in the audit. That's what you get.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to JFK. Here I come, fellas. Get ready. Line up. Let's pat me down.
Wear something skimpy. Get your money's worth. Well, we're talking about wrongdoing. I'll give you two. The Robert Hur testimony yesterday, fascinating. The premier Jay Appel trying to say Biden was completely and totally exonerating, and then him being like, oh, I have to stop you there because he wasn't.
Okay, this is a classic textbook. Everybody in political science should watch this. They should have taken the first sentence of that Hur report, which says, you know, he's not going to prosecute him, and called it a day. Mm-hmm. That should have been their opening statement. It should have been the only thing they said. They should have asked him to read the first sentence, and then, but no, they tried to reach for more.
Yeah, yeah.
Say here exonerated. Oh, and then it ends up worse. You look at the cover of the New York Post and other things. Yeah. No, he was not exonerated.
Not even close.
So that's the headline now. Instead of just saying, no, we didn't find beyond a reasonable doubt that the jury would. I mean, they could have done that, but they didn't. They overreached.
Well, yeah, what they do wrong a lot is they amplify things that make it worse for them. Meaning,
yes,
The Hur report can just come and go, but the Democrats being like, no. I'm like, dude, you got away with it. You're not getting charged. Just take the win.
But they saw every television network going live, mm-hmm. and they all wanted their FaceTime, and they overextended. Yep. And then you got Jamie Raskin and Adam Schiff and other people just making being like a cartoon. Like, they were so bad.
It's bad. But now but I think part of the reason they were going to the extent that they were is they're also simultaneously trying to legitimize the prosecution of Trump in the eyes of the public as like, this isn't a double standard because you see, Biden was exonerated. Biden had documents in 7 spots.
Here's the thing. There is no fact pattern in which a United States senator can be in possession, physical possession of a classified document. They don't give you these things at your office and you're supposed to bring them back. You have to go to a SCIF, a secure
secure.
Yeah, a secure place. And so he had to steal those documents in
mass. Just to start.
And he knows, you know, you can't be in Congress since I was 5 years old, 1972.
Yeah, yeah.
72? How old were you in 72?
I wasn't born. I was somewhere.
Okay, you're making me feel old, Doug. And by the way, totally not on topic. Can we just do live shots every time the president is getting on or off Air Force One? Because
it is a NASCAR race now. You're just watching for the crash.
Even though it's the short stairs, I want to see if he falls.
I know.
I want to see stumbling live.
Isn't it so funny to think Gerald Ford once slipped down the stairs when he was young and agile? I mean, Gerald Ford played football at Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good player.
Gerald Ford was on the cover of GQ magazine. Did you know that? He's the only president to be on the cover of GQ. Gerald was like a young, good-looking, hunky, athletic guy. Slipped on the stairs once. Chevy Chase made a career out of it because they played the video so much.
Yes.
Biden has fallen like 68 times.
That's why I want anytime he's getting on the plane. Fox was just showing.
Did you
this,
ever see?
But I didn't see him get on.
Did you see my video for the song we don't play on? We have a song parody of Tom Petty, Free Fallin', called Keeps Fallin'. And we posted it on social media. It got like 5 million views. It's crazy. I'll send it to you. You're going to love it so much. I can't play it on the air because we have different rules on radio than we do on social about copyrights and stuff. So right now, all those song parodies we have that made the show famous are actually just in like a holding cell. Like they can't be released right now. But I can post it on social media, so I will. But it's because it's become a national object of fixation in that we now have a president that you watch for different reasons. You used to watch press, see what he has to say. Now you watch, like the State of the Union was a good example. Half the people are watching that like it's the Daytona 500 and they might see a car crash.
Yeah.
And they, to be clear, are very lucky they didn't kill him with whatever they shot him up with. Because I've seen him in person a few times. That was a different guy. That was, don't forget, I grew up watching the Giants when Lawrence Taylor used to occasionally snort the 30-yard line. We couldn't measure a first grad. LT's got all this powder on his face. We're like, where'd the 30 go, LT? I know what that looks like. The man was hopped up. I told Hannity he might have eaten one of Commander's dog treats because he was so feisty and angry. I don't know. Do you think that's why the speech was late? He bit 3 Secret Service agents?
I was just worried because there was no ADA-compliant railing to get up and down off that desk. And if you actually watch the video, when he gets to the last step and he's coming down, he really thinks about it.
Yeah.
Like he's looking around and he looks down. There's a dramatic pause that he's looking at this step and there's nothing to hold on to and he's pretty worried about it.
Yeah, you could see it. Imagine after that whole speech, they're all excited because he's showing you some vigor and some fight and he just falls on his face. I mean, it's coming. You're going to watch it this summer, sadly.
It's happened before. Yeah. It's sad.
It's not good. So we laugh.
When you got to get Nancy Pelosi to hold your hand to get to the plane.
I love that she goes, well, he's younger than me, so I'm not going to judge. I'm like, Moses was younger than you. I'm like, what are we talking about here, Pelosi?
You know, I actually share a birthday with somebody that I don't normally tout this, but Nancy Pelosi and I have the same birthday.
Is that true?
It's March 26th. And not every year, but pretty much every year, I would send her a note and I'd say, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. We share the same birthday, and I'd ask her to go to lunch or something. And I got increasingly snarky the longer I was in Congress. And the last one, which I still have a copy of, I said, Madam Speaker, we had the same birthday. I'd like to go to Five Guys with you. I hear you have a car. Maybe perhaps you could pick me up. If not, God, I will ride my bike and meet you there. Let's meet at noon.
I love this.
She would never respond to me.
Well, there went.
She couldn't have a little sense of humor, little humility.
Well, now I know why you're not getting the hot stock tips. Thanks for nothing, Chaffetz. I could have been making money here. Oh, the great Jason Chaffetz. Good luck, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Nancy Pelosi is a total dingbat.
Critics are calling it the show of the year.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. If you want to see the Joe Biden video for Keeps Falling, it is on my Twitter feed, at Jimmy Failla. Also on Instagram, at Jim Failla, F-A-I-L-L-A. We can't play that stuff on the radio. They don't let us play the song parodies anymore.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Some type of a legal thing. We're trying to work it out. But we can always post them on social in the meantime, so I can still continue to opiate the masses via song, which is what we're going to continue to do in the next hour. Mark Wayne Mullen, great senator from Oklahoma, is going to stop by. Talk about this TikTok bill. Get back into the general election. Real bad polling for Biden when it comes to public trust. Trump leads Biden in public trust now by 3 points, with 30% of Americans saying they want neither of them, which is also a reality we're confronting head on. We're about to get a sequel to an election that nobody asked for. That being said, on the issues, Trump is sitting on about a 20-point lead in aggregate on every decisive issue people go to the polls on. So Biden's in a bad spot, which is why the next 8 months is just going to be an exercise in calling anyone who wants to vote for Trump a racist or bigot, a transphobe or a homophobe or something in between, because we're not going to argue about policy.
The left weaponizes race.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Jimmy, here he is, back in action, ready to go. It is Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla, also your TV buddy on Fox News Saturday nights. I am, of course, the host of that show, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. And in this hour, I will be delving into my experience from pretty much every job I have ever held. Cab driver, comedian, talk show host, TV host, fluffer. It all goes down. The rent don't pay itself.
What the hell did you just say?
What I said is this is going to be a wide-ranging hour of conversation. It will also feature Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen and perhaps the greatest political punchline of all time, which is the fact that after 5 years of calling everyone racist, the Democrats are about to lose the White House because of the black vote. It's my favorite thing in the world. I just think it's so funny. Okay, but here it is. There is a reverend on record joining the chorus. We've heard this from Ice Cube. We've heard this from the rapper Meek Mill. We've heard this from Charles Barkley. Okay, so many critical thought leaders in, black culture have said voting for Biden, okay, and voting Democrat has not helped in any way.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black? A
lot of black people losing their black card, according to Joe Biden right now, because he is not helping them with jobs.
A three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
Which, by the way, is four, not the best. But it's a funny conversation to have because as we square off in the 2024 election, Biden clinching a nomination last night, he hit the delegate threshold, Trump hitting that delegate threshold as well. The race is now officially set. It's Biden versus Trump unless Democrats can succeed in getting Biden off the ticket, which is something they desperately want to do.
Tell him like it is.
But assuming he's going to stay onto the ticket, okay, the black vote becomes pivotal because it's what ultimately throws elections to Democrats in key places. They have made a career out of telling everyone that the Republicans are a bunch of racists who only oppose their policies because they're favorable towards minorities, when in fact we know that's not the truth, because the Trump tax cuts were probably one of the most favorable things to happen, if for no other reason than because they gave low-income communities, okay? They made them the single biggest driver of wealth accumulation in our economy when the Trump tax cuts went into effect because they did away with the SALT deduction of state and local taxes, property taxes for high-end homes. The upper 1% of Americans paid more in taxes because of the Trump tax cuts. And the biggest cuts went to the lowest percentage of income earners, which is where the Trump tax cuts were helpful. The First Step Prison Reform Act, HBCU endorsements. I mean, Trump gave HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, their highest recurring funding endowment ever, which meant instead of going back to Washington each year and asking for money, they got to stop doing that. That's something that happened under Donald Trump and not under Barack Obama. Okay, not under Joe Biden. So we're in this precarious spot as we head into the 2024 election, where the one group that usually gives Biden an advantage and gives Democrats an advantage is the fact that black voters tend to sway about 85% to 90% into the Democratic column. Well, that number is down by 20 and 30 points in some instances.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Okay, with black male voters, Biden's getting smoked. Okay, and when you look at the economy, it's the reason why. Okay, the one thing the Democrats do wrong, I say it a lot on the show, is they cater to voters as black Americans or Asian Americans or Latino Americans instead of catering to them as just humans. Humans. Humans have all the same needs. There's not a race with different needs than the other one. There's not a race with different motivations, different capabilities, different levels of intellect. Everybody really, truly is created equal, okay, in a broad spectrum. On a case-by-case basis, definitely not. Like, you've seen my comedy, you've seen Greg Gutfeld's comedy. You're not going to say we were created equal. But, you know, just to stick with me, you can talk about that in so many different locales. I'm just taking shots at the King of Late Night in case I see him in the hall later and he goes, I can't believe you made fun of me, you know, that whole thing. But the point is, when you talk about the 2024 election, the economy is going to be the single biggest driving force, and it's worse under Biden than it is under Trump.
I agree with that.
That's just a cold, hard reality. So here is Karine Jean-Pierre with a straight face trying to say prices are down and wages are up.
You're not telling me the truth.
Okay, wages are not rising at the same level of inflation. But more importantly, when they see things like prices are down, I don't doubt the price of something is down. I'm sure you can find me an item that's gone lower in price. You know, like, for instance, if you had a Kamala Harris t-shirt, I'm sure it's down.
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
But if you're actually talking about goods and services, I read this before. I will read it again really quickly. It's what your radio buddy does. Okay. Since Biden took office, groceries, 21% higher. Eating out, well, they're 21.2%. Going out to dinner, which, again, if you can't afford groceries, you're not going out to dinner. But going out to dinner is 21% higher. Baby food, 29.6% higher. Pet food, 22.7% higher. Rent, 20% higher. Electricity, 28.4% higher. Natural gas, 30% higher. Clothing, 12% higher. Used cars, 20.3% higher. Airfare, 31.4% higher. And that public transportation that we were supposed to be taking to cut down on emissions in our private vehicles, public transportation, up 20.8%.
Biden sucks.
A lot of people feel that way. Real average weekly wages, down 4.2% under this president. But here's Karine Jean-Pierre telling you everything's fine. Clip two.
Inflation is down 2/3, and we have the lowest annual core inflation since May 2021. Prices fell over the last year for gas, milk, eggs, chicken, appliances, and also used cars. Wages are rising faster than prices over the last year since the pandemic, and forecasts broadly expect progress on inflation to continue over the rest of the year.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
We broadly expect progress on inflation to continue over the year. Inflation actually went up 3.2% last month, meaning it didn't go down. It went back up. And when she says things in the legalese that they're known to speak in, wages are rising faster than prices over the last year. Okay, great. But since they got into office, if everything's 20% higher, there's no way in hell wages are rising at that rate. And that's the reality we inhabit. So when you talk about the 2024 election, it's impossible to get around. Okay? Black Americans, like a lot of white Americans, like a lot of Asian Americans, like a lot of Muslim Americans, okay? They're voting for Trump because they know his economy was better than this one. And the White House answer to the fact that they're underwater on polling is they're like, well, it's a messaging problem. You understand, it's a messaging problem. The media is not covering the economy. No, no. When people go to the bank, they have less money. When people go to the store, it costs more money. Ergo, it's not a messaging problem. It's a dollar and cent problem that ultimately decides this thing.
Money, 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 money.
And at the end of the day, there's a lot less money to go around if you find yourself shopping in this economy. And that's why we find this all so funny, is that for all the talk about vote for me or you're a racist, what's ultimately going to cost the Democrats is the fact that they spent more time fighting pretend racism than they did life's real issues. I find that hysterical because I think it would be a good referendum. It would be a good inflection point for the country. The truth is, we're not perfect, but no country has done more to level its playing field than this one. Democrats like to tell you that America in 2024 is the same as America in you know, 1824 or 1780. It's not, just not the case. Okay, yes, we were founded during a time of slavery, but we also fought a civil war where 500,000 white people died to end slavery. We then had a Civil Rights Act, okay, where white people fought and protested and got arrested and killed in some instances to actually create a level playing field. Okay, we did that because we as a collective, as a vast majority, knew that everyone deserved equal rights. Now, from a legal standpoint, 50 years ago, okay, we struck down any statute whatsoever that allowed for any type of racial discrimination. So the theoretical playing field has been leveled for about 50 years. Doesn't mean we don't have racists out there. It just means the vast majority of Americans are well past race. We are a fully integrated society. Okay, we are right now, by any objectionable measure, the most tolerant and inclusive society in the world. So to sit here and make the focus of one political party racism is really done so to the detriment of everybody in every race because it divides the country and it takes our eye off the ball of what's important. One of the things we talk about in my book, The Cancel Culture Dictionary, which I'm not going to promote because everyone's sick of hearing me plug all of my stuff. People freak out with it.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
They don't want to hear it. Like, enough, fatso. We get it. You made the bestseller list. But if you didn't read Cancel Culture Dictionary, you should read it. If for no other reason than because it will give you the perspective that you can hand to any liberal. Okay, because my book is not written as like, liberals are the enemy. We got to get them. My book explains how cancel culture and weaponized outrage and faux racism is the enemy of every single decent person in society who's just trying to get ahead and enjoy their lives. Okay, that's the whole point of America. There's a greater good element to life here that we're all supposed to buy into as Americans, okay, because it will ultimately yield the highest levels of prosperity.
Freedom!
That's the reason I tell my story so much. I, the guy sitting here that you're listening to, represent the best thing about this country, straight up. That's why I tell the story so much, because you live in a country where there is no rule that says you can't turn your life around. You had a bad day today, okay, you didn't get the promotion. There's no rule that says you can't get the job you want down the road. There's no rule that says you can't get your financial situation under control. There's no rule that says you can't get your love life under control. Whatever the hell you want to do with your life, there is no rule that says you can't pull it off. Okay, that's how I wound up hosting a radio show and a TV show and touring the country and playing these giant theaters and doing all this cool stuff. It's because the life here has more upward mobility than the life anywhere else in the world. And I tell my story to remind everybody out there that whoever you happen to be feeling today is how I felt for a great deal of my adult life. But I kept doing the work because that's this option you have here. And if you keep doing the work and you really believe in your purpose, okay, you can ultimately get anywhere you want to go because, again,
freedom!
But this idea that we're now running campaigns based on the fact that we don't have freedom or Donald Trump's taking away your rights, would you shut up? Like, they tried claiming that Donald Trump was taking away your voting rights by asking you to show an ID. They told you it was worse than Jim Crow.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
Jim Crow on steroids, he said.
Would you shut up?
Jim Crow, they killed people to stop them from voting. Burnt down their houses. Democrats, the Dixiecrats, that was the Jim Crow era. Okay, when Republicans took over the South, things cleaned up quite a bit. Why? Because the Republicans were the tolerant side. They're the ones who elected Abraham Lincoln. They're the ones who fought the Civil War on behalf of emancipation. Do you understand? It was the Democrats on the other side, the Dixiecrats, who looked at black Americans as lesser than. which is why Joe Biden feels comfortable saying, oh, black Americans, this is worse than Jim Crow if you ask them to get an ID. They're too dumb to get an ID. They're not capable of participating in society like the rest of us. Like, guys, that is disqualifying. It's disqualifying. The infantilization, the soft bigotry of low expectations, that's a hard bigotry. A hard bigotry. This is worse than Jim Crow. To ask black people to get voter ID. Voter ID, which, by the way, if you don't have voter ID, you can't drive a car, can't open a bank account, can't board a plane, can't get a vaccine, okay, can't pick up tickets at the ball game, can't go out to a bar, can't rent a car, can't check into a hotel. You can't live in the year 2024 if you don't have an ID. Okay, so this idea that everyone in black America only gets goods and services if some white person buys them for them. Like, have you ever heard anything that's more disparaging towards a race of people? But that's why the Democrats are ultimately losing the black vote. Okay, the black vote, the black people have always known they're equal to the rest of us. They just didn't always get treated by it. Okay, because there were Democrats out there trying to hold them down. I mean, that's ultimately what welfare is. Anything that encourages the disintegration of the nuclear family puts you at a disadvantage no matter what race you happen to be a member of. Okay, two-party households traditionally go further. Now, on paper, that is the case. Doesn't mean you aren't an exception in one of your families. Tim Scott was born into one of the poorest black women in America at the time and wound up becoming the first black American elected to both houses of Congress. It's not about white privilege. It's about family privilege. If you have a good family, people who model hard work, empathy, okay, self-reliance, people who take advantage of our freedoms, you can do anything you want to be here. Tim Scott came from that. He only had one parent, but he had a great parent, family privilege. You could be a single parent, okay, as I'll probably be the way my life's going. I mean, Jenny's going to throw me out any day now. But the point is, you keep working hard for your kid, kid will be just fine. Okay, you'll be just fine because you live in America. And what Biden keeps selling people, okay, is not the America we are, but the America we were, which is fascinating because this is a guy who eulogized a member of the Ku Klux Klan and Robert Byrd. Yet he wants you to believe that the whole problem with black America is white America. When in truth, white America don't care. We're doing the same thing as black America. We're trying to get paid and we're all trying to get laid.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Back in New York for the full week this week. We're doing Fox News Saturday Night live on Saturday. Sean Hannity has agreed to come on my TV show.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
I honestly don't know what he was thinking. I don't know. Hannity's probably going to fire his handlers right there on the air because he does not need this. It's always an honor to have the longest running host in cable news joining the shortest shelf life in cable news. Our show has been on the air 8 episodes, so be a little bit of a historic watershed moment, me and Hannity Saturday night, and then I'll be getting back out on the road. Listen to this schedule, because we just added another date. Tickets go on sale Friday for June the 1st out in Indianapolis. Hey, girl. Here's a speed read, okay, for everybody who says I need to come to their town. Here's where I'm headed, okay? This is the spring fling that will take us right up to the RNC in July. The 29th of March, I'll be in Helena, Montana at the Civic Center. The 30th, I'll be at the Fox Theater in Spokane, Washington. April 5th, Friday night, Federal Way Performing Arts Center in Federal Way. So all you KTTH listeners listening to Jason Rance, don't forget to come see your other buddy on the dial at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center Friday night, April 5th. You'll see me April 6th at the Egyptian Theater in Boise, Idaho. That's about to sell out, so buy your tickets. April 13th, I'm at the Mars Music Hall in Huntsville, Alabama. How about it? May 11th, we are then at the Van Wetzel Performing Arts Hall in Sarasota, Florida. May 12th, the Plaza Live in Orlando. All you WDBO listeners, get down to the Plaza Live. It's Mother's Day with me and my family. May 18th, the Schubert Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. And now June 1st, we just added it, the Butler Arts Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's a thing. June 7th, the Majestic Theater in Dallas, Texas. June 15th, We are at Soul Joel's in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And then we've got dates coming in Red Bank, New Jersey, Las Vegas, Nevada, Colorado Springs, and Biloxi, Mississippi. None of those shows are on sale yet, so I won't give you dates and venues because I don't want you to go bothering them, and then they flip out on you and they can't take all the calls and questions.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Exactly. I'm trying to prevent violence on this show, and we'll get into it with Mark Wayne Mullen from the Senate when we come back on Fox Across America. There it is, Fox Across America. Jimmy Failla fired up to talk to this next guest. Did that sound sincere? I've been rehearsing it all morning. I kid, he's a damn good friend of the show. Superstar senator from the great state of Oklahoma. Mark Wayne Mullen back in the house. Hey, man.
What's going on, Jimmy? I'm disappointed. You normally do a lot better opening for that for me than that. I mean, that's pretty weak. Are you feeling good today?
Yeah, I know. No, you didn't see it. You see, when we said your name, the pyrotechnics went off. We released doves. You're not in studio. If you were in studio, you would have saw the whole. There was a marching band just playing. Got a lot of nerve. Got a lot of nerve.
I'm going to start logging in so I can watch it.
Yeah, it's the right thing. If you were watching Fox Nation right now, okay, the things that just happened. It was like, you know those old Starburst commercials where a wave comes in and they're surfing? We actually just drowned a producer.
I feel better now.
Yeah, no, you still got it. You still got it. What's going on over in Senate Town, USA? I understand the House passed the TikTok bill. What is the bill? What does it actually mean? Like, what are you guys being asked to vote on? A divestment? A complete ban? What are they trying to do with TikTok to start
that? I haven't read it because it's been on the House side, but we got briefed today by Steve Scalise, and just kind of explain it to us, and I'll break it down as quick as I can with it. Basically, he just said it eliminates CCP from having ownership, but then it also takes away the algorithms from the app itself. So they basically got to bring it down and then reboost it, reissue it. My thing about that though. The CCP didn't do that because of the money. They don't need the money.
Yeah,
they're fine. They were doing that because they want to get information. So unless you destroy the servers that service it, then they still have access to it. So they're still going to get the information to us that they want to. And the rebuttal to that was, but they won't be able to put all their content on it. And I said, well, they don't own Facebook. They don't own Instagram. And they're still able to put that information out there too. Now, anytime I can have an opportunity to poke the CCP, China, in the eye, I want to poke them.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do a bill that just kind of puts a Band-Aid on it and doesn't actually resolve the issue. But this is a good step forward. I believe this will probably be one step when it'll pass the Senate too. I imagine it'll be one step in a process of probably three or four other bills that'll have to take place over the next 18 to 24 months.
Wow. So all that lobbying money for nothing on TikTok's part?
Yeah, well, they were – how do you lobby the United States Senate not to ban the CCP or the United States?
I'm sure it's doable. Maybe not with you, but I'm sure it's doable. I mean, it's scary.
Well, if you're a guy that has gold bars in your pockets and your suits and had no idea how to get
them. Oh, shots fired at Menendez. Hey, Menendez, for all the jokes you tell about the internet, he's the one guy that actually got the gold bars out of Nigeria. Remember that whole internet
there
myth?
You go.
Yeah. He found the prince.
And his wife got a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I sent my Social Security card at least a dozen times. I didn't get any gold. I kid. Too funny. Talking to Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. It'll be fascinating to see how that plays out because TikTok, make no mistake about it. If you spend any time on it, that algorithm that you mentioned earlier is essentially them prioritizing what they want people to see. And a lot of what they want people to see is anti-American sentiment. That's where it becomes kind of a propaganda arm of their country. No? No?
Right. 100%. It is a propaganda machine. And they always seem to mix it in. I haven't let my kids use TikTok for a long time. I mean, for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I was on the House Intel, and we knew what the situation was. So I banned them from TikTok for a while. But now I've got, a couple boys in college, and I can't exactly ban them from doing that.
No, I get it.
I've got one that he thinks he's pretty cool, and so he posts TikTok videos all the time. Want to be whether you call that?
Yeah, an influencer.
An influencer. And he says that he gets stuff popped up all the time because of his connection with me. Mm-hmm. He says stuff pops up all the time that's rebutting a lot of the stuff that I have, that I put out there. It's kind of different.
That is wild. Yeah. No, I get it a little bit because Lincoln, my son, who is not on that, but he's on other apps, he gets a lot of Fox content shot his way because of things I do on TV. But luckily for him, they're all about my wardrobe. I don't do anything substantive like you.
Well, I mean, that and your hair. Come on, you got great hair, too.
There's a lot happening here, Mullen. I'm not messing around. I mean, you want
to
be.
You got a lot to work with.
Yeah, we're doing it right over here.
It's not hard to improve what you have.
Oh, more shots fired at the champ. Well, that's a rough, that's a chippy interview today. I mean, we expect this from you. We do. Nonetheless, it's good. And don't forget, like me being from New York and spending most of my life driving a taxi, the things I have had said to me by other human beings would shock the conscience. It's pretty.
You know, but you would be considered popular now because you actually speak English.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, that was a big thing. Do you know that? Yeah. I'm not making this up. People used to get into my cab. Because when you are like a white English speaking cab driver, you are a little bit of an endangered species. But people would get into my cab and they'd want to say that, but they wouldn't know how because we're so politically correct. Because New York's a very liberal town. So people would get in my cab for real and they'd go, oh, it's so good to see a Native American New Yorker driving a cab. I see where you're getting at here.
See, but if we're going to be politically correct, I'm going to be offensive because I'm actually Native American.
That's even better. I love that. There's no good way to do it. Yeah, well, one guy called me a Yankee. He's like, we don't get a lot of Yankees driving us. And I was like, yeah, that's because Derek Jeter makes $18 million a year. You know, he doesn't really need the money.
Yeah, so do you consider yourself a Yankee?
I don't know how you'd describe me. I was just like a guy before we started putting all of this thought into things. And that's like the most fascinating point about like the time we're living in is like we're fighting all the wrong battles. This is an election note. It's like so Biden is losing like major support in Black America. I'm talking like, you know,
huge numbers.
I know. Yeah. So it's probably bigger than what they're even telling us. But it's like Charles Barkley, you know, you got rappers like Ice Cube. And basically what they're speaking to is that the issues that face the Black community are not unique to them. The economy matters no matter what your race is. The border matters no matter what your race is. So this whole idea that the Democrats market to people as ethnic groups instead of human beings is ultimately what's failing them. Because if the economy sucks, we're all screwed.
Well, yeah, and it's true, but it goes back to the same thing. How many times can you cry wolf, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
And eventually it gets old, and that's what the Democrats have done. They have continued to use this identity politics as a wedge, and it's become old, and people are just sick of it. Seeing a Hispanic vote move towards Trump. You're seeing the Black American vote move towards Trump. You're seeing the Native American vote move towards Trump. All these ethnic groups you're seeing start moving because they realize all they're getting is just lip service. Yep. I mean, that's all they're receiving here. They're not getting any product. They're saying the same thing, and nothing has improved for we're going on 20, 30 years now. Yep. Nothing has changed. And when they had full control of government, they didn't do one thing. I mean, you look at what did they do about the DACA recipients when Joe Biden came into office and he had Pelosi with the gavel in the House and had Schumer leading the Senate?
Yep.
Nothing. They did not one single immigration bill except open the border up. And so that you're just seeing the people say, you know, you just cried wolf too much. We're going to try something different now.
No, it's a great point because especially when you talk about the border, because it screws people in inner cities the hardest, you know,
right.
And that's, you know, something they don't like to speak to. But this whole idea, they're like, well, you know, the Republicans, we'd have a border, but the border bill doesn't even close the border anyway. That's another scam. If it's going to let 5,000 people in a day, I mean, when I go to the store and they say they're closed, they don't go, we're closed, so only 5,000 of you can come in.
Yeah, you know, when you start really talking about the border, there are some things that we could do real quick, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I mean, one would put, it's called Safe Country, First Country of Entry, a Safe Country. Mm-hmm. And it's a pact we have between Canada, United States, and Mexico that says that the first country you enter, you got to claim asylum to.
Yes.
That's the first country of entry. And if you were just to simply put that in place, out of the 300,000 that crossed the border illegally last month, only 18,000 were Mexican citizens. 21,000 were Chinese nationalists.
Yeah.
You had the same amount of number from Venezuela. So only 18,000 individuals could actually claim asylum inside the United States if you just simply put that one policy in place. And then if you actually put the policy in place that you can only claim asylum from a legal point of entry, I mean, because if you're claiming asylum, why wouldn't you want to go through a legal point of entry, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That number from 18,000 would drop to 7,000.
Wow.
And then the individuals that actually qualify for actual asylum would be probably somewhere around 500. Because you can't claim asylum from cartels, you can only claim it from the government, and you got to prove that.
Uh-huh.
So there are some really simple things that Biden could do today that would change that. But he could also, but as far as Congress, we could actually implement that if we could get a bill passed. But you know, we can't. We have a hard time getting anything passed out of the House and the Senate both.
No. There's no chance. This is the NFL in the 1930s. There's no passing. It's all handoffs now. It's not good. I find it all fascinating. But you know, it's all going to come back to the economy at the end of the day. And economically, they're nuts. They don't know what they're doing. And spending everybody's tax dollars on climate is not going to win them back the support they need.
No. When you spend that kind of money, it gets, you know, you're wasting money in projects that aren't going to be acceptable anyways, because if you're going to bring down inflation, you got to bring down the cost of energy. Energy right now is up 30% from the time Biden took office to where
nuts.
It is today. And I say this all the time, the energy is the backbone of the economy. Without cheap and reliable energy, you can't have an affordable economy. And they go hand in hand. If you show me a country that doesn't have cheap, reliable energy, I'll show you a third world country.
Yep.
So the only way you can bring down inflation is you got to bring down the energy costs, and renewables don't do that.
Yep.
Our fossil fuels, our natural gas, our petroleum products through crude oil, they will bring down that energy cost and become energy independent, because that's what Trump did.
Yep.
And we saw the lowest prices of oil, which, you know, for the oil and gas states like Oklahoma, that's not actually good.
Mm-hmm.
But you also prices dropped dramatically, and they could do that if they just brought down the 18% inflation could be almost eroded if they brought down energy costs to pre-Biden levels.
Yep, and no, they don't make that point. But I think that's part of the problem, too, is they can't bring down those energy costs and still enact this green energy farce.
No,
that's the problem.
No way.
It's so crazy. Like, they're trying in New York now, they're trying to change the pizza ovens. They're like, you know, the ovens, they let up too much smoke. Okay, if that's really how you feel. But pizza ovens do not pollute New York 1/1,000th as much as traffic does. But they make traffic worse in our city, just so you know this. And I know you've been here recently. But they got rid of all the car lanes, replaced them with bike lanes. But every bike in New York City has an engine on it now. So it's not even like the environment's any better. We're just all sitting in traffic cursing at each other.
And they did the same thing here in D.C. too. They took away two lanes, made them all one lane and directional for bikes on the other one.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, the mopeds actually drive the bike lane.
Yeah, of course. There's nobody pedaling a bicycle. Come on, man. We're the fattest country in the world. We ain't bike riding. You know that. That's too funny. I mean, you get it, but I don't know. Keep cracking skulls, man. You're playing good ball out there. We appreciate you, bud. Even though you took some cheap shots at the champ, it's allowed. We'll let you get away with it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for not being too hard on me.
Of course. You're the best. There he goes, Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Took a couple of shots at my wardrobe.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Nah, he's a good guy. But he's telling you the truth. Mark Wayne Mullen, the reason you hear him on the show on a recurring basis is he was in New York. He was here at Fox News, and we talked off the air for like a half hour about what he was doing in New York and what he was working on down in D.C. and everything. He's one of the guys that actually cares, like cares about the direction the country's going in. There's a lot of D.C. that wants to be an Instagram influencer. He was talking about his son earlier. Okay, that's what a lot of Congress is. There are people who are trying to get famous on Instagram, and Congress is kind of the side hustle they do it off of. And to the credit of Mark Wayne Mullen, he's actually one of those dudes that's in a good mood if things go well in Washington and a bad mood if they don't, because he's in the business of America instead of the business of how can I take this position in Congress and use it to pass around the collection plate at every turn.
Please give us money.
Okay, that's 99% of Congress. He's one of the other people. So for that, we are thankful. And for you, we will be right back.
You're listening to the hottest show in the country.
Our country is in serious trouble.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Getting ready. Getting ready to wrap this puppy up, head back out into the real world. Having a laugh. The idea of all of this ridiculousness we were talking to Mark Wayne Mullen about. Like, when it comes to the economy, man, you know, if things cost more and you have less money in the bank, doesn't matter what they tell you at the White House. Okay, if the White House tells you it's good, but you have no money in the bank.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
And that doesn't mean we're not going to turn it around. I say this a lot. America right now is like the Lakers. The LA Lakers had Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, and they're both Hall of Famers, two of the best players to ever live. But they were not winning championships when they first got together. Okay, they weren't playing their best ball, and ultimately they got some better coaching, and they both matured as players, and they went on to win a bunch of championships. That's where America is right now. We still have championship talent, which, I mean, we just need a new coach.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Nobody knows better than Reese, who's out in Sheridan, Wyoming, to wrap it up. Yo, Reese!
Hey, make America great again, kiddos to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, man. I needed some of your optimism to close the show. What can you tell me?
Well, I'll tell you what. Now that we're down to the final two, we're in the final Rocky, bout. Mm-hmm. Old Trump is going to end up winning it. I'm not so sure that Kristi Noem is going to be his nominee.
No.
But how great would it be if the equality state brings more votes than any other Republican candidate for Trump once again?
Listen,
that would be a great day.
Be a nice story, Reese, and we're certainly rooting for you guys out there. Bottom line is, whoever he goes with, and I, you know, he says he knows. I don't know that he does, but whoever he goes with, if they stay on message, the Republicans are going to win. Meaning every community was better off under Trump than they are under Biden, except the climate people who've gotten rich pushing climate change. If you're not a climate change person or a member of a drug cartel, the Biden presidency hasn't really benefited you. So the Republicans have the message if they can stick to it. So I think that's your job out there, okay? It's whoever does become the nominee, you've just got to make sure you keep them on message, okay?
Well, the wave is turning, and we're becoming more common sense oriented than ever before, and we just got to continue that red momentum down the rest of the election season.
I knew you could save us. America's best days really are truly ahead of it, as is always the case. But, you know, we just need a little course correction. So we fixed the GPS. We'll be on our way. Good call, buddy. We'll do it again soon, okay? You're the best. The great Reese. Calls in from time to time, talks to us about the...
Get him out of here! Get him out!
Oh, come on! I'm very pro-Reese. That was rough. That was the control room. Sometimes they like to, you know, give people a hard time. But Reese is a good egg. He's a great American. And he's one of the optimists. This country is a testament to optimism. That's what freedom is. It's the ability to have faith in oneself, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, to go out and make the world you want for yourself. That's what you have. It's called American privilege. So don't take it for granted. The show's over. I'll be back to remind you tomorrow. But between then, okay, go out. You live in the greatest country in the world. Live it up. That's what I say.
Freedom!
Bottom line.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.